Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, it's time for another live performance in our Soundcheck podcast series. Streaming live on YouTube and Facebook, I'm John Schaefer. The British indie band called Bombay Bicycle Club was rewarded for years of hard work when their fourth album hit number one on the British charts. And then they disappeared for like 3+ years. But now the band is back. They've got a new album coming out in January. It'll be called Everything Else Has Gone Wrong, and they've already released the first single from it, which they are about to play for us in an acoustic version here in our studio with a song called Eat, Sleep, Wake. Here is Bombay Bicycle Club. That is Bombay Bicycle Club with a live acoustic performance of their new song called Eat, Sleep, Wake, subtitled Nothing But You. The members of the band, as ever, Jack Steadman on voice and guitar, Jamie McCall on guitar and backing vocals, Ed Nash playing the bass, Surrenda Sarum playing the drums, in this case the wooden box known as the cajon, with Liz Lawrence on vocals and percussion. Jack, there's a wonderful video that goes with the full-on band version of the song,
yeah.
Set in a kind of post-apocalyptic, post-Bombay Bicycle Club England.
It's great.
And it's both dark and kind of touching by the end. Does it sort of reflect the feelings that the four of you had about, you know, coming back together after a few years?
I think we wanted to touch on that while still having a kind of dry, sarcastic sense of humor that we all have at the same time. So it is quite tongue-in-cheek. I mean, the song was not written about us getting back together, but it's just a nice, a nice way to do a video, I think.
Well, now, the album's going to be called Everything Else Has Gone Wrong. Comes out on January 17th. And there are a number of songs on this record where you reference songs. Mm-hmm. Notes and harmonies and things like that. I mean, it seems like the act of making or even listening to music is kind of a thread that's woven through this new record.
For sure. I mean, it's just about my experiences of, since I started making music, just using it as a better way to express myself rather than talking. Because I was always, especially when I was younger, I'd kind of fumble my words, and like early interviews or just having conversations with strangers, I'd always walk away being like, I didn't really get what I wanted to say across.
Hmm.
But then writing instrumental music was just, I finally like cracked it, I think.
Have you actually written instrumental music? I mean, you know, stuff without words, like maybe film music, et cetera.
I mean, in my magical dream world, all music would be instrumental and I wouldn't have to write any lyrics.
So, Jamie, I mentioned in introducing you guys that, you know, you hit the pinnacle, number one record. That was 2014. You then toured a couple of years, and then you all went your separate ways. So what was the catalyst for all of you coming back together?
Initially, it was kind of a discussion about doing some gigs for the 10th anniversary of our first album, I Had the Blues, But I Shook Them Loose. Because, particularly in the UK, that album meant a lot to a lot of people, particularly kind of people of our generation and age. But the more we spoke about that, the more we felt that that was a strange thing for us to do. Mm-hmm. As you know, we're still in our late 20s, and it kind of felt like the kind of thing a heritage act would do, rather than a group of people that still feel relatively young and mm-hmm. like they have something to offer.
Well, I mean, you are relatively young, yes. Says the man in the room who provides the relatively for that. So what was it like when you all got back together? And I mean, was it like falling off? Was it like riding a bicycle? I was going to say falling off a bicycle, but you know, that happens too.
It was kind of bizarre how everything just comes back straight away. It made me realize why I can't remember simple everyday things, because my head is just stored with useless songs. Like the muscle memory is so strong that we would just say, oh, should we play this song? And then immediately we'd start playing it.
And did you have, I mean, I know you guys were doing separate solo things and other collaborations, but did you have a couple of ideas percolating when this happened, when the four of you started playing together again?
I wouldn't say so. I think I was genuinely excited to start trying to write again for the band. I saw it as a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe before then I was maybe just a little bit, I don't know, almost like frightened to do it again.
Well, now you guys started, you were kids, right? I mean, you were still in school when even Jamie, when that first album came out, were you full-time students still then?
No, we were 18 or 19 when we did that. So we did it, we'd started recording it when we were 16 or 17 in the first sessions, and then we finished it the summer we left school. So it was, it was very young, and we hadn't quite figured out what we were doing or what we wanted to do at that point, but sort of muddled our way through it as everyone does when they're teenagers and figuring out their place in the world.
Right. And you would expect and you would hope that 10 years on, the 28, 29-year-old people are not exactly the same people as those teenage people. Did you find that was the hiatus just part of that whole process of kind of figuring out who each of you were before coming back together and doing this again?
To an extent, I still feel like I'm muddling through life. But now I realize that that's just life.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I'm still muddling.
Yeah. I think one of the most important things is that, music aside, everyone is literally older, but is also kind of a bit more developed as individuals and outside of music, and has gone away and done different things and kind of appreciates the band a bit more.
So now, does that come out in the kind of the sonic palette of the new record? I mean, do you feel like there are things on this forthcoming album that wouldn't have been on earlier Bombay Bicycle Club records?
I feel like the process was different. That may have had something to do with who we worked with. There was a producer called John Congleton.
Oh, sure.
But just in general, the way we worked was a lot faster and less anxiety-ridden.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't sweat the small stuff as much, which I think comes with age. Previously, you'd spend hours on a single sound without admitting to yourself that in the end, the listener doesn't actually care that much about that particular snare drum. Sorry, Saran. And as long as the song comes through in a meaningful way, then that's all that really matters.
Well, the album's called Everything Else Has Gone Wrong, and it's due on January 17th, and we've just heard the first single from it. And now you want to play something from So Long, See You Tomorrow, which was the aforementioned number one album?
Yeah, we're going to do a song called Luna.
So on the record, there's a keyboard figure on this song, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's an electric. So there are no keyboards inside here. You're going to do this totally acoustic.
It's a new interpretation of it. Yeah.
Actually, what is the song?
It's a marimba.
No, and then there's a sample.
Is it a patch?
Oh.
It's an Indian instrument.
Is it? you're talking about the tabla.
Yeah.
I say there's a tabla on there.
Right.
And some marimbas.
Okay. Well, let's hear this acoustic version. The band is Bombay Bicycle Club. Here they are live in our studio with a song called Luna.
I will bathe myself, and then I'll wear you for the night. Colors fading, afraid at the sight. Changing in the light. Oh, why is your face so pale and white? There's a lot of words to come out, just waiting for the perfect hideout. Down where the walls started shaking, I'm ready for you to find out how to find.
The song Luna in an acoustic version by Bombay Bicycle Club. You guys have done this sort of acoustic stripped down thing for a while, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And the songs really do become, some of them, very different. So I was surprised at how much Eat, Sleep, Wake stayed the same as the full-on electric version, but this is a very different song from what's on the record. So with the new album coming out, Jack, I mean, you mentioned before how like music is a theme, like music, I guess, as a refuge.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be impossible, I think, to hear songs like the title track, the song Is It Real, and not think of this album as your Brexit record.
I know. That's what everyone said when we named it.
So, I mean, can you be a British band during this year and a half, this last year and a half, and not be somehow responding to that?
Well, Jamie's actually done a lot of work related to young people and Brexit.
Really?
Yeah.
He's deflecting.
We'll come back to this. We'll come back to him.
No, I think that, I mean, it's not a political album by any means. I don't know. There is a sort of sense that, you know, the Mercury Prize this year, which is the kind of most prestigious music prize in the UK, like pretty much every album on the list this year was like sort of overtly protest music or kind of generally kind of commenting on the kind of general cultural space or political space that we're in now at the moment. And I personally, that's not what we're doing. It is just more about music as an escape, and you can choose what you're escaping from. It mm-hmm. can be escaping from your life at home or from kind of a general malaise that you feel in life mm-hmm. or in politics. But yeah, it's definitely not an album of protest songs.
Right, which doesn't mean it doesn't have, you know, that kind of backdrop, that kind of context to the songs. And a song like Is It Real, when I first heard that, I thought, well, this is a song about surreal times, mm-hmm. which, I, you know, could be an apt description of our mediated digital culture, but, you know.
Yeah, I think it's, some of the lyrics are open-ended enough for people to be able to, I don't want to say project onto them, but kind of get different things from them. And I think So like one of the songs that Ed wrote for the album, Good Day, kind of, which I don't think you will have heard yet.
No, I haven't.
Does kind of reflect on the kind of general sense of malaise and mm-hmm. that we like, exist in at the moment.
All right, so let's follow Jack's deflection. What do you tell young kids about what's going on in contemporary Britain?
Increasingly, I don't think that we need to tell them anything. I think they're doing a pretty good job of telling us how they feel, but we're probably not listening enough, particularly with, well, Brexit, but also, you know, issues like climate change and social welfare and general sense of a lack of opportunity and a kind of hopelessness about the future. So I think, yeah, we should probably listen to them more than tell them what to think.
All right. So, and what's the context within which you do this?
All right. So, I don't really do it anymore. But so, I was involved in campaigns to get young people to vote during the referendum,
I see.
Which were, I guess, they weren't that successful by the measure of the outcome. And then afterwards, I was involved in a group that was essentially trying to ensure that young people's views on Brexit were fed into the political process mm-hmm. and as a consequence hopefully the outcome and the deal that we ended up with, but that's obviously a process that has not ended and may not end for quite some time.
Yeah. All right. So Bombay Bicycle Club back in action. You've got this concert. You're back home after that. Are you road warriors again? Do you get a break as you head towards the holiday season?
We've got a short break and then I think we're going to Thailand to play in Bangkok. Maybe some more Asian shows.
Oh.
And hopefully we'll be back here shortly after the album's out to do some more US touring.
Okay, great. So the next song you're going to play for us, we're going even further back for the song Shuffle. What is the, there's like an interesting piano sample that runs through that song.
We've never revealed it.
It's not cleared, so we can't.
Okay.
Right. It's Rudy Van Gelder recorded it. Hackensack, New Jersey.
What are you doing?
That's so vague.
Yeah, I mean, that could be any of 100 different classic jazz recordings.
On many different labels.
Yeah. but at least now we know where to start searching for when the lawsuits arrive. all right, so once again, guitar only. No keyboards in this version of the song Shuffle. Let's once again hear a live performance from Bombay Bicycle Club. That is Bombay Bicycle Club live in our studio with their song called Shuffle. I'm sorry I asked about the piano sample, but I found it instructive because, Jack, when you started giving little clues and Jamie, you turned and said, what are you doing? I thought I caught a glimpse of the 16-year-old Bombay Bicycle Club.
Yeah, nothing's changed.
Well, it's great to have you guys back. And what I've heard of the new record sounds pretty awesome.
So thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming in and playing for us. Bombay Bicycle Club, the album is called Everything Else Has Gone Wrong. And that comes out on January 17th. Once again, guys, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
This is Soundcheck. For what X
can give you. Know what I am, so you know how I live. And try to look proud, but you're not in the slightest. It's happening now, and it's always been like this. Like this, 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 like this.
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.